Well, hello to all our friends and platinum members of Tarahana Estate. My name is Ray, and I'm actually speaking to you from Australia, where I'm actually stranded, which is not a bad place to be stranded. I'm looking out at a beautiful blue sky, and I'm joined by somebody that you all know very well from your visits to the restaurant and cellar door. And so, welcome, Toby. Say good morning to all of our friends.
Hello to you all. Nice to be able to speak to you all.
And so, Toby, I'm stranded in Australia, and you've got your first day of lockdown in New Zealand. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. As of last night, 1:05, we shut the doors and shut the gates. And this morning, I awake to a very different Tarahana.
Your routine is turned upside down. And just so that I could explain to the listeners what we thought we might do is that, we thought it might be fun that with a lot of our clients and friends and people that you normally interact with and that visits the estate that, that maybe that we do some things that if people have got time on their hands and they're isolated at home, that we can... Now, somebody's just bring me a cup of tea, so bear with me if you hear that that door open. Thank you very much. That we thought we would do some different things so that we could keep in touch and hopefully maybe while away an hour if you're bored at home and, just with some interesting things. We might do a live one day where we can do some question and answer with our winemaker or some members of the team. But for the purposes of today, we thought we'd just do our first one. And if you like it, we can do more. And we might do recipes and cooking things and all kinds of fun quizzes. So that we can, it's important for us, I think, Toby, to, keep in touch with our clients and through difficult times like this. So that's it in a overview terms. And so I thought it might be fun, Toby, that a lot of people, if I, will know you as Toby, the very happy and genial host of Tarahana and the restaurant and the cellar door, and I obviously know you in a different way. For some of the folks who may not know, Toby is actually my son-in-law, and he's done a terrific job at Tarahana since we acquired his estate. And a lot of people are always asking all kinds of questions, like why is it called Tarahana, or how did it come into being, and what did Toby do beforehand, or who am I, or where should we start, Toby? I mean, should we start with how it came into being?
Yeah, that would be great. That would be a good starting point.
So it's got a very long story short. I'll keep this brief, that I'm actually in the film and television industry, and I was the founder, or am the founder, of the Cloud9 Screen Entertainment Group, and I'm a writer, a composer, and a producer. That's my day job, but I have a passion for wine, and I always have for a number of years. In 1992, I guess it would have been, I came to do a recce to New Zealand. I was living in the UK at the time, and to film, as you do. It's a very gypsy lifestyle, our industry, and we travel all over the world on location. And I was invited to come to New Zealand because we were going to film a series, and that was the Ina Blyton Adventure series, and we were looking to film for 6 months. And so the government, as they do corporate hospitality, where they take different people around to show you the different locations and what's on offer. And so I was taken on this tour, knowing that I was a wine lover, to the Wairarapa and to Martinborough. And I actually visited Tarahana Estate, which was then known as Voss Estate. And it was very, all those years ago, Martinborough was a very difficult place. It was a difficult place. There used to be some fights at the local hotel, and it wasn't like it is these days. It was called an interesting transition, you know, where viticulture was relatively a new area. And although when were the vines first planted in the Wairarapetoba? It was
I think about 86, I think.
Yeah, like in the 1800s, wasn't it? That
oh, the original, yes, yeah, back in 1870s.
And the government in Prohibition ordered all the vines to be taken out, didn't they? But the second wave, some of the great pioneers like Attarangi and Dry River, and it was all very new. So Voss was planted in 1988, the early vines. And so I came there just a few years later and sampled the most amazing Pinot Noir. And I phoned my wife in England, and who knew, and I was saying, look, you know, I've just had the most extraordinary Pinot Noir in a little place, in a place called Martinborough that looks like a town from the movie Back to the Future, you know. It looked like a life how it used to be. And I was very intrigued with it, not knowing, you know, I just thought I'd never visit there again, basically. And several years later, once we, that first 6 months evolved into me doing another series, I was taken with the talent, and lots of people in those days, like people like Sir Richard Taylor at Weta. The industry wasn't really as established as it is now, with obviously Sir Peter Jackson doing amazingly well with, you know, Lord of the Rings, and you know, people like James Cameron filming Avatar. I mean, it's taken off like a rocket, the New Zealand industry. But in those days, it was a little more, excuse me, domestic and parochial. And but I loved it. I loved the Kiwi number 8 wire, the talent, the attitude, and fell in love with the country, really. So we decided to continue filming in New Zealand. And I was actually in Hawaii, of all places. Toby was there with me. And we'll go into your background in a minute, Toby. Toby used to work at Cloud Nine, and I had a call, or my assistant received a call, and said, "Look, I've just had a call from somebody in New Zealand called Gary Voss," and I said, "That's a familiar name," and I couldn't really, and I thought, "Voss, where have I heard that?" And I thought, "Oh God, I know, that's that vineyard," and he said, "Look, we're selling up. And are you interested in buying it?" And I heard myself saying yes. My wife was staring wide-eyed at me, thinking, that bugger, he's going to, you know, he's going to be drinking the old vineyard, because I love wine. And that's how it all came into being. Now, Ohana is Polynesian for family, and Tir, T-I-R, is Gaelic for earth. To put it together, it's Tir Ohana. A lot of people think it's actually a Maori word. Tir Ohanga, of course, is beautiful view. But Tir Ohana is earth family. It sounds like something out of Star Trek. But it's actually, it pays homage to my late mother, who was part Romani Gypsy, but part Scottish. And so, as I say, Tir is Gaelic for earth, and Ohana respects and pays homage to our new world for my children, and more importantly, my grandchildren, Toby's two sons. Excuse me, I've got a frog in my throat, so I'm sitting here and looking out an amazing view, and people are doing some spraying, so my asthma is kicking in. And normally, if I was on the vineyard, I'd get Toby to bring me a long, lovely glass of Pinot Noir, but I'm having to do with a blighty cup of tea that doesn't do the trick. So Toby, explain to the folks, that's really how it came into being.
Yes, yeah.
You, at that time, found that your heart wasn't really at, you enjoyed it, you did well at Cloud Nine and in the film industry, but you wanted something different. But just so that a lot of you, your friends and clients, who see you all, they may not know, like, what your past is. So maybe explain, what did you do at Cloud Nine, Toby?
Well, I actually had a couple of positions at Cloud9, actually. One, my first role there, when I was back in England, a rather splendid father-in-law called me one day from New Zealand to say that there was an opportunity for me to come to a place that I never thought I would ever be coming to, down here to New Zealand to work with the film company that he had set up. The role that he explained to me was that of a tutor slash chaperone for the child actors, which was something that I got incredibly excited about, and something that I'd never done before. And plus, on top of that, an opportunity to travel to a place where literally there's no other place further that you can travel to, other than the moon, of course. So we picked up that very wonderful offer and arrived all wide-eyed ourselves in New Zealand, not knowing anything about where we were or what the place was all about or the people, and got stuck straight into one of the productions there, which was very, very exciting. We worked with the film company for several years and got to meet some amazing people and got to work with some amazing talent, did that up until that trip to Hawaii.
So it's too modest to tell you, but as a proud father-in-law, I can let you know Toby did a great job, and it was even dialogue coach to a lot of the kids that we cast, and even, you know, my wife and I, we started a charity called the Cloud9 Children's Foundation, and Toby also, Toby did a couple of years, and again, we don't like to talk about some of our other things, like particularly when they're charitable, because we do it for our own reasons, to give something back to the community and to try and help those less fortunate than us. But Toby was, and indeed still is, very active in our charity, and was our coordinator for, how long was that, Toby? About 2 years.
Yeah, about 2 years. We did that, and and on the charity again. That was something that I hadn't been involved with other than via the family, but to actually to be the coordinator for the Cloud9 Children's Foundation, and to organize events and seminars and workshops and lots of functions for the children themselves was an incredibly rewarding experience as well.
And again, some of the listeners might not be aware, Toby, but you actually studied nursing, didn't you?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. It was a relatively new thing in the UK, I studied for 2 years in Sussex, and trained to be a nursery nurse, which is not a medical nurse, but it's a course that enables you to work with children from newborns to teens. So that was again an incredible opportunity.
And that's part of the reason why I thought there would be nobody better than Toby to, because he had a very passionate about children's rights and welfare and looking after them, and was very, very caring in that regard. And so at Cloud9, we again, it might be of interest to the listeners, when we were in production, I mean, it was like the army for some of these kids. They'd live away from home, so we had house parents, and they'd go to school and tutors and all kinds of stuff. And so it was a big thing. And as custodian of their welfare, we obviously took that very seriously and responsibly, and for their safety and well-being. So Toby had quite a big team. He'd be liaising with many, many people. And so, and again, for some of the listeners, Toby, they may not know the relevance of the Cloud9 Children's Foundation, but Toby's brother-in-law, my youngest son, has Asperger's syndrome. He's out of the autistic spectrum. And I found out at age 50 that I actually also have it. I didn't realize that. I always thought I was eccentric or something, but so we My wife and I, knowing the pain and anguish of those days, we didn't know where to turn to or what to do. And again, we were committed to, philosophically, we like to also give something back, but to really try and help those that are less fortunate, but that were perhaps struggling in ways that my wife and I, you know, we were lucky. We had some resources to do some different things, and many people don't, who weren't as lucky or fortunate. So that's what we do there, and that's still and now, of course, it's there's a lot more information readily available, and the schools and the governments are doing a great job giving these people and individuals and families that support. So Toby, you then, this was probably, what, 2003, I think, 2002, you joined Tirana, long before the restaurant was even built. And in those days, you then started to, you came, not knowing the first thing about viticulture, of course, and, except that your father-in-law spilt a lot of the drinks via...
that sounds...
no, that's not because of any addiction, I mean, but so Toby, in fact, it's interesting because, you know, you're now a Kiwi citizen, I'm a Kiwi citizen, and we must bear in mind that a lot of our listeners and some of the Facebook friends and Platinum members are mostly Kiwis, mostly New Zealanders, but perhaps there's people all over the world who will be listening to this right now. And we should say, if so, we hope you're all doing well in these challenging and very difficult and worrying times. And you may be aware that in New Zealand, it's a lockdown. It's a bit of a, I feel, you know, one of our series we did at Cloud Nine was The Tribe, which is ironically set against a pandemic and a virus. And it's positive and aspirational. It's not dystopian. And it's, again, it was very successful. And so I feel I'm living in a series that I created, you know, but it's real. It's very bizarre, very odd. And so back to you, though. Toby, you then learned about viticulture. And enjoyed
yes.
that. You enjoyed living doing that, didn't you?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it was again. I arrived with no knowledge of viticulture, or even that much knowledge of wine, other than enjoying the occasional glass. But arriving on a vineyard and basically just throwing myself into it, and all of us learning a wealth of knowledge. Just by doing it and watching, and we had some incredible first seasons. A lot of moments that where we felt totally over our head, and moments where we felt like we were actually grasping it and making sense of it all. But certainly, you know, it would make a wonderful novel if you were writing it. Some of the nights that we experienced during, say, the first frost season. You know, the first picking day in 2004, for instance. You know, there's so many wonderful times we had, and that was just with the cellar door running and the vineyard running.
I mean, what's interesting, again, some of the listeners might relate to it or understand if they've ever seen the movie City Slickers, you know, where... all the people, us as a family from the city, like Toby moved from kind of Hollywood into Martinborough, you know, and, you know, coming from a totally different lifestyle and environment into a rural, hey, Toby, like existence in a very small community. And again, part of my motive in acquiring Tirana was as an alternative to the material world in some ways, you know, which sounds a bit abstract, but I mean, Hollywood is a great place and the film industry is an industry, but it can tend to be a bit superficial and that's fine, you know, but I know that Toby and my daughter and their two children, my two grandsons, and one of whom Dylan was just a baby then, or and he's a Kiwi, you know, he's a full-blown blue blood. He was born in New Zealand and is a very proud All Black supporter. And but you know, we wanted to raise them or Toby and Saran did, my daughter, they wanted to raise them in the country. No Paris Hiltons away from Hollywood. They wanted to raise them with a sense of values. And hey, Toby, we'd say they'd go out doing some wire adjusting. I'd say, this is the happiest days of your life. They'd look at me or Toby and think, you've got to be joking. And when you're bud rubbing, I mean, it's exhausting, back-breaking work. But, you know, they had a great upbringing there, really. They're now young men, but hey, the local school and the Marlborough community and the wire wrapper was a great place to raise them, I think, eh, Toby?
Yeah, well, you took us, I remember you took us to Martinborough the first Easter that we came to New Zealand, and you took us to what at the time was a pretty well-known restaurant in the village called the Tartan Trout, and we sat and had a beautiful lunch there, and we walked around in the afternoon, and so much so that we were so intrigued that some weekends following we would visit the wire wrapper, and we would come to Martinborough and enjoy the cafes and visit the wineries. We'd also go down to the coast and sit by the beaches and stay at Castle Point and Riversdale and Kite Palliser, and that became a bit of a routine for us.
But for Toby and Saran, you then started to really love that kind of that backdrop. So when the opportunity came to acquire Tirana or Voss, which became Tirana, I viewed it personally as a way to pursue my passion for wine. But also, you know, I was raised through my mother, who had a great love of the natural world and Mother Earth and all that entails. So we set up Tirana in a very different way. As a lot of our listeners will know, we don't export, retail, wholesale. You know, it's very boutique, very hands-on. And it's a very spiritual place. And, you know, it really is. And it's a wonderful place to have an alternative to this fast-paced, you know, material world. You can't get tractor rage, as we say in Marlborough. You know, I mean, you know, you slow down to the speed of life. And it's a place I love to visit and sit on a tractor and get away from the pressures of and the craziness of my industry, the film industry, and really slow down and get back to nature, really. And that's why it's very, very important. So, you know, Tirana became a place for my family to obviously have a career for Toby and he loves doing it, but as a way of life, as a refuge in some ways from all else that goes on. And it's ironic that today of all days that you start your new routine, Toby, but you're at Tirana Estate and you're safe. You've got a lovely place to walk around and Jake and Dylan are there. Yes. My daughter actually is. And we weren't going to do much detail on that, but she's stranded overseas, so we're getting her all organized, so there's no problem there. And partly I'm in Australia was that, you know, we came on holiday, and we have a holiday home. I'm in a place called Sanctuary Cove, which is in Queensland, and that's between Brisbane and the Gold Coast. And we, Toby and the family would come out. We have some holidays and Christmases here, but... So, you know, I kind of live between here and Martinborough. I love to get to Martinborough. I love to be on the estate. And it will get back to normal and that. So Toby, at some point, you know, if our listeners have an appetite for it, I'm happy that we, you know, we can continue doing these podcasts, I guess you'd call it. And maybe interview some of the team and we could give information about life on the vineyard, what goes into bringing the wine together and as I say, recipes and quizzes. And in fact, let's just do that as the first quiz on our Facebook page. Later today, we'll give that as a question. I mean, how was Tirana named? And maybe you'll give some vouchers, Toby, or wine. And I think you'll know that Toby and the team, you can't be in the hospitality industry without being hospitable, and I'm very proud of Toby and the team. You'll all know, no doubt, how it's very important to our clients, and we like to make sure you have lovely times and enjoy it. And it's and a lot of you have become friends and valued clients and all kinds of things. So, you know, I was saying to Toby, where he said, like, what am I going to do today? You know, because he's so busy. I mean, he does about 100,000 steps every day, and he works all hours. And so he said, I just don't know what to do, you know. And so I said, well, let's, like, people can't come to Tirana, but we can come to them. And at least you're not going to eat a meal, but at least, Toby, you have a chat with people in the Salvador, or if yes, they're dining at the table. But this is a chance where we can still have everything, but just in a different incarnation. And and you mentioned, Toby, that couriers are still going, so we can, I mean, we can still send wine if anybody wants to get a bottle, or even if we do some small prizes, we can send a bottle out. And it's worrying, it's difficult, it's, I mean, I'm going stir crazy. I've been isolated here for about a week, and I'm going mad. I don't know what to do myself. And but at least I can write and I can do my normal jobs. But I mean, it's very hard to bring the tractor into the house and work from home, Toby. I mean, it's
Yes.
So let's bring the listeners up to date. This, you were in the midst of harvest, Toby, and and you had picked, what had you picked?
Well, so far we had picked the Chardonnay. So we'd got the 2020 Chardonnay into the winery, and that's now all being processed. We were in the midst of picking the Pinot Noir, the first clone of Pinot Noir, when we got the message that we'd be locking down. So we managed to get that pick finished and those grapes to the winery. And so that leaves us now with some more Pinot Noir to pick, and then Savion. So we've got to hopefully get round to this in the next few days.
And what happened was that, you know, I had a bit of a panic call from Toby to say, oh my goodness, that the Prime Minister has just come on, we're in a lockdown, you know, in 48 hours. And in those days we thought, you know, what are we going to do that... So we have to do, obviously, what's responsible for the community and our team and keep everybody safe. That's the most important thing. And we just thought we'd have to forego the harvest. But apparently a few days later, viticulture, rather like farming, the government have classified as an essential industry. And so that means that we will be able to do some picks. We're obviously not going to be able to get the same tonnage just because of the complications and restrictions, but at least we'll get something. So, and I've already named the wine, and it's going to be called Adversity, and so we will triumph over that, and all our clients and listeners, I'm sure, will as well, And so, yeah, the Savion you're going to be able to do as well, Toby, I think. And then, but apart from that, we're going to take the nets off, and we're going to let the birds come, and they can enjoy some of the Pinot as well and do what they do for a living, and that's to eat the grapes.
Hey. Well, it's an amazing vintage as well. It was, you know, we were, everybody gets to try a little grape or two when you're picking, and the flavours from the 2020 vintage were just stunning, and such sort of rich, dark flavours, and the Chardonnay, which again was a smaller crop this year by design, has got some really intense flavors. So I think it perhaps will be a reserve this year based upon the quantity and how we will produce it.
And I think, Toby, for future podcasts that we could, because I do, I think a lot of the listeners may have even participated. We, you know, we get a lot of requests to do wine talks and tours, and we get a lot of the cruise ships that come, and we give them, and I think it's very entertaining. Toby's a very good speaker and gives a good overview. So even if you're not really, you know, interested in wine and are a layperson, I mean, you're beyond knowing what you like to drink, it's very interesting what life is like on a vineyard and what we actually do through the seasons. And that's everything from, you know, the pruning. If you're gardeners, you'll be interested in how we do the pruning and from all that goes into it. So maybe at a later date, Toby, we could do one podcast where we just talk about life on the vineyard and all that. And
that would be lovely.
Yeah, and I think for your clients and listeners, they might be interested as we can talk more about you, so they get to know more about you and maybe some of our other members of the team. We can, you know, we've got tremendous young man Fab, and now Belen, and they're from Argentina, and Belen wants to be a winemaker, so she's going to be learning that, and we can find out what goes into how does one become a winemaker. Belen's parents actually are some of the top winemakers in
Bolivia. I actually have to correct you, Ray, because I think otherwise Belen will track you down. She's a very proud Bolivian girl, and
that's right. And but Fab is Argentinian, and Fab is a sommelier, very knowledgeable about wine. And so, you know, that I'm sure a lot of our listeners have already dined and met Fab, or you know, he's a tremendous young man. And so we can, I mean, it's interesting life in Argentina and, you know, just little things that just to while away an hour that, you know, while we're all in lockdown, just, you know, there's only so much TV or wine you can drink and, you know, twiddling your thumbs. So that's the spirit of this, that we are happy to do this and to connect with you all, because we're all in it together and we'll get through it as our Prime Minister says. And for anybody around the rest of the world, we're all experiencing the same thing to one degree or another. And I mean, Australia is not totally in lockdown, but it's going to obviously become that way. And we've got some relatives in the UK and all of this stuff. So, you know, it's a time where we just have to be together and look out for one another and to, you know, make sure that we... the health is all important, but you know, the physical health is very important as well for our team. And I was saying to Toby, we're not laying any member of our staff off because you know, we're going to support them through this, and the community is very important, and for the health of our nation, for the health of rural New Zealand, for our communities. That, you know, it's good and bad, and we're there for the good times and the bad times, and that will all come to pass. And Toby, at some point, even with the chefs, with Saran, you know, we might do some cooking things or some recipes or all kinds of stuff. You know, so we can get our thinking caps on. But what we wanted to do was to get something out pretty fast. And I think maybe try a live one, and we could then. What do you call those live ones? What are they called? They're
streaming, I think.
Streaming or something, where people can actually, it's instant, and we can talk or message or ask any questions and answers. And I'm happy to participate on occasion if you want, if anybody wants to know more about the film industry or television or the state of the industry in New Zealand. And... you know, we're very actively still involved in that, and or if it's confined to the to Tirana, which is as I say, a special place, and so we hope all of our listeners are okay and safe and are not too distressed at this difficult time. And you know, it's a hard time, isn't it, Toby? It's just amazing that. Who would have thought a month ago, 2 months ago? And
yes.
These things happen, and it's not the storm you encounter as a sailing metaphor. It's how you set your sails, and so we just have to adapt accordingly, and we will. And so Toby, for the rest of the day, you've got young Dylan, and Dylan, the Kiwi that was born. Just a little baby when he came to the Wairarapa and went to the local school, is now a 6'2" strapping young lad who wants to follow me in the film industry and become a director, but I'm saying, no, don't do that. Stay where you are. That's the best place. And so he will have served many of you, and you'll know him. And he's a tremendous young man. And that's Dylan. And Jake, Toby's other son, my grandson, he, when you're there, he's a bit shy, and he's in the background. He's your dishwasher. So Toby is home alone, you know, with these two boys, and Dylan is now showing himself to be an adept. He made some bread yesterday, Toby, is that right?
Oh, well, yeah, I think he's got some DNA from your side of the family in terms of the cooking abilities. He produced a beautiful loaf yesterday, a beautiful bread loaf that we've been eating all day, actually, and made us all a beautiful pizza with his own pizza bases and ingredients. It was just delicious.
So he's probably fallen, he's got the DNA from his mum, my daughter, Toby's wife, Saran. And Saran has cooked for many of you over the years, no doubt. And she's our executive chef. And she's, as I say, was overseas doing some other business elements, and got into this thing where she couldn't get back to New Zealand and for this self-isolation for 14. So it just got all complicated. But Saran's well and happy and doing very well. Dylan's followed suit, and my brother actually was a chef, and my mother was into it, and they had a restaurant. So we've always been interested in that, and we've got vegetarians, and you'll notice that through the restaurant, we're always very keen about dietary, different
special dietaries, plant based, and all kinds of wonderful
all
things.
All kinds of things, and that's important. So, and that's another noise. So goodness knows what that is. That's either Toby. Did you have a curry last night, Toby? that Dylan made you. That sounded something either very rude or from the planet Mars. I don't know what, but I hope it's not the bank manager chasing me. That they missed me from the helicopter. They're probably spying on us. But that's a different problem. But we're all in the same thing. Everybody. I just hope that none of our listeners are too seriously affected, and that nobody's losing jobs or hurting fiscally. What we might do, Toby, on the, I don't know if we've done it already, but anybody with a platinum vouchers, we should extend that for another year so that nobody misses out. And we can I'm happy for you to offer the, maybe increase the allocation of platinum vouchers so that people can get some discounted ones for when they want to, when we open again, and life gets back to normal. So we can, but then more on that later. So I'm just trying to think. So the restaurant. Now, when did the restaurant open? That was.
I think that was 2008 officially, I think.
And the reason for that came that my daughter, who also didn't want to be in the film industry and follow me in that element, had been a wonderful chef and cook, and used to cook amazing stuff. And so Toby and Saran said, look, we'd like to open the restaurant. So my wife and I gave them our blessing, and they've done that. And I'm very proud. Again, Toby's too modest to say, but that's evolved into, not that it means anything, but anybody that's a mum or a dad or a grandparent will know what I'm referring to. I mean, the pride you with your offspring. But, you know, I don't normally listen to critics or things like that in my industry because it's not healthy to do it. But as a grandparent or a parent, you can. And it's like school reports. And I take great pride in seeing Tehran as number one out of about whatever it is, 1,200 restaurants in the greater Wellington region. And that's a testament to Toby's gifts and talents and skills and my daughter and the team, the entire team. We now got a fabulous sous chef who will become our head chef, James, and Fabio is there, and Bellen and Alec, and lots of Noah, and lots of, we got a great team, and they're all looked after, and they're all safe and well in their own homes, and and they're getting through this difficult time, and they will be with you once we open again. So we'll make sure that they don't hurt, and that they're physically secure as well as their health is secure. And yeah, so the restaurant opened, and that's really what it is. And it's nothing really. I mean, Toby, I think that it's really the clients and the who make it special. Do you agree? I mean,
oh, absolutely. Yeah. Again, that's the strange thing about opening the door this morning and looking out and thinking everything's the same. And the one thing that isn't the same is that Tirohana is only part Tirohana, because what makes Tirohana are all the people that come down the driveway and through those doors every day. So, yeah.
That's and I think the clients and the listeners will know that that's as I say, it's a passion for Toby and the team. They genuinely, it's a way of life for you, really, isn't it? And so, you know, yes. Toby, I have to, without embarrassing you, Toby, I spoke with Toby this morning, saying, how are you guys doing? And he said, I feel a bit jittery, I feel a bit nervy, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. And this is all so alien. And and that's why I said, look, let's do something positive here. And so part of this is for Toby to keep himself occupied. And so we're doing all kinds of things. And so Dylan is making bread, and Toby's going to take a look at the vines. You're going to go walk through the vineyards later, are you, Toby?
Yeah, I'm going to get a little map and a chance to meet them all again individually.
Yeah, and it's a very warm day today. I mean, up in semi-tropical in the Gold Coast, and beautiful, very, very warm, very humid. So I'm just acclimatizing, and so you've got a busy day, but we'll keep going, and we'll you know, let Toby know if there's any topics you'd like to us to cover. And hey, Toby, like, you're still checking That's your right. emails, and even if you just wanted to check in and let Toby know what you're up to, and you'd appreciate that, Toby, hearing from you.
I would. I love it. We are checking Facebook regularly throughout the day just to make sure that any messages are answered, and we're getting some lovely messages from people with support, just telling us obviously to look after ourselves, and obviously those sentiments are reciprocated. We'll look forward to hearing from you anytime you want to drop us a line on the Facebook. That'll be fantastic.
And so what we'll do, we'll we'll kind of see if some people might think, what a bunch of boring old bloody farts. I don't want to listen. But in my day, and I'm again not to age myself, in my day, podcasts were called radio, you know. So I don't know. But, you know, as I say this morning, I just said to Toby, look, why don't we, you're kind of a bit missing your kind of normal routine, welcoming people and speaking with people and interacting, because that's what Toby does with these. He loves people, loves to interact, and is very proud of Tirohana. So we thought, maybe let's do this a different way. And it's a pleasure, and I'm always humbled by the support that Toby is always singing the praises. I mean, we've got an amazing client base there, and we've got our Platinum Club and Facebook friends, and they've it's not us, it's you, Toby, and the team, but without your clients, you've got nothing of you, really. With our other shows. I mean, it's we've got some amazingly loyal fan base that watch our series, and I'm always touched and humbled by that as well. And it's a consumer industry, really. And so, if you guys are not drinking the wine, I'll drink it, but. But apart from, I can't drink enough of it. So there's more than I can drink, and for the restaurant, certainly, that without your support, that wouldn't be what it is. And so well done to all of you. And I've been grateful, Toby, for the chance to have a chat. In the early days when I used to help you out, I'd have a chance to meet many of your clients, and sometimes I'd go over there for a couple of weeks after a location or filming, and Toby would kick me out and say, get in this other door and help serve the wine or clear some of the tables. And so people didn't know who I was and what I did. And I'd sometimes do the pickups and help and wash the dishes but I've not been there able to do that for a number of years. And so anybody that that remembers and think, oh, I know that guy, that old guy, that's and I'm not as old as I look, as I keep saying, or as I am, it's one or the other, but I hope you're well. And if I've had the pleasure of meeting you, and if not, then next time I'm on the vineyard and I might be able to share a glass of wine with you or whatever. But you know, we'll get some quizzes and some spot prizes, Toby, some bottles of wine and some vouchers as well, you know, for some quiz prizes and just one. I mean, Toby, again, sorry to digress, but this is me. Am I able to get wine sent over to Australia?
I think it is still humanly possible. I'd have to check it out, but I'm pretty sure we can send wine over to you there.
Okay, well, remind me to, once we finish this, to check that out, because I could, I mean, I was thinking today, yeah, with my cornflakes, I wouldn't mind a glass of Pinot Noir just to wake me up. And but again, if any of the clients, you're still able to send out wine, or you, if somebody fancies.
Yes, I can send it anywhere in New Zealand very easily. So,
right, well, do that at no cost, okay? If anybody wants it, just to support them. And so if they can't come to the cellar door can come to them. And and that's in the spirit of support being a two-way thing. So that's important. So you can keep that. That might keep you occupied if you're sending out a few bottles here and there. I don't know. But otherwise, you're going to get your apron on and start hoovering the house.
That comes next.
Anyway, I think we'll leave it there for now, I'll hand you over to Toby in a minute. But before that, thank you for taking the time to listen to this. I hope we didn't bore you too much, but above all, I hope you, in all seriousness, are well and safe and secure. And wherever you are in the world, and especially for our Facebook friends and Platinum Club members and clients and friends in New Zealand, stay strong and keep your peckers up, as I say, we'll get through this and together. So it's not forever; it's just a temporary thing. It's going to be a difficult month, no doubt, and possibly longer. But it will come and go, and it all will be well, and we'll get back to normal. So lots of love to you all, and look after yourselves. And I'll perhaps look forward to participating if Toby's going to do more of these podcasts, or at least when we open up, seeing him perhaps on the vineyard when I'm there. And I'll pass you over to, so bye from me, and I'll, in Queensland, I'll hand you over to Toby.
Thank you, and thank you, Ryan. Thanks so much for taking the time to speak to all the guests and Platinum Club members, and thank you also, obviously, because I wouldn't be sitting here today wondering what to do had it not been for you in the first place. So thank you so much for the opportunity to for the creation of Tirahana and the opportunity to meet all these wonderful people. So we'll look forward to that, to the next podcast, and hopefully I know they're going to be very interested in hearing more about you and what you've done in the past as well, so that would be wonderful.
That's good, and we can know more, find out more, together. We're all interconnected and through Tehran, and that's very special. So I'll phone you later, Toby, and have a chat with the grandsons, in the meantime, everybody take care of yourselves, and I'll pass it to you, Toby, to close it out. Right.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And thanks to everyone. We'll look forward to catching up with you via Facebook and by hopefully some more of these podcasts. And in the short term, all take care, stay safe, and we're just a message or a phone call away.